Hello, iPhone photographers. Welcome to the Tiny Shutter. This is the podcast dedicated to iPhone photographers by iPhone photographers. My name is Keith Tharp, your host, along with Mark Sadowski in the booth and Matt Hoffman. How are you guys doing today?
I am great. Doing super.
I'm excited about Instagram on Android.
Oh, aren't we all? I can tell you, we are all excited about that.
Are we firing him for that quote?
I know, that's crazy. That's it. get that stack of resumes that we got in the mail last week.
Both of them, okay. I think one of them is really cool. He's a Nigerian prince. He'll get us a lot of traffic.
Perfect. So, listen, head over to iTunes and make sure you give the show a 5-star rating and leave a helpful comment for people who are searching. That way, when they come across the show, they know that we have tons of fans who are interested and love the show. If you've already gone over there and done it, thank you super, super much. If you haven't, go over there and do it right now while you're listening. And let's get into today's news. Last week, the city of Boston coughed up a $170,000 settlement to a guy named Simon Glick. Simon witnessed a police arrest going on, and he felt like it was being overly aggressive and bordered on brutality, so he pulled out his cell phone camera and started filming it. Simon was then arrested on some kind of obscure rendition of a wiretapping law. And so what Simon did was he went and sued the city of Boston, being a criminal defense attorney, knew what he was doing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, being a criminal defense attorney, kind of, they messed with the wrong guy. And he ended up winning and won $170,000 settlement from the city of Boston. So the interesting thing about this is this isn't the first time this has happened. Well, it's the first time that a settlement like this has happened, but people are getting arrested all over the country for filming arrests and getting arrests on film for one rendition of one silly law or another. People are getting arrested for this, and it's causing a lot of controversy over constitutional rights for citizens, falling under the First and the Fourth Amendment rights. But, real quick to close out this story, though, today in New Hampshire, Attorney General in New Hampshire, Michael Delaney, issued a statement warning law enforcement officials that the U.S. Constitution guarantees citizens the right to photograph and videotape police officers in public, as long as those citizens aren't infringing on the actions of the police, interfering with the police work. And so this is kind of what I was getting at, is hopefully the settlement that happened in Boston kind of sets a bit of a precedent anyway because this is happening all over the country, and I didn't put down the list of other places that it's happening, but
all over the world.
Yeah, there's situations happening everywhere where people are getting arrested for basically just documenting what's happening.
Right.
The chat channel is pointing out that in some ways this is a kind of a double standard. The police are recording us every which way, you know, cameras on their cars. A lot of the cops are wearing point of view cameras, like GoPro cameras, on their chests now. So,
don't get the option.
So, all right, let's move out of that. A real quick tidbit of news here. Last Thursday, All Things Digital posted that iPhone 4 still had the lead on Flickr as being the most used camera on Flickr, just nudging out the 5D Mark II. But on the very same day, Mashable posted an article that said the 5D Mark II had just surpassed the iPhone 4. The numbers are very similar, just a little bit off. These numbers get taken every day. But the reason I wanted to bring this up is just that the iPhone 4 has actually been the most used camera on Flickr since last June.
And that's amazing.
It's just now starting to lose its traction, and since the 4S was released, the iPhone 4 started to drop down a little as the iPhone 4S came up, and
I'll be curious to see what happens when everybody converts to the 4S or the 5.
Right, and another thing to note is that if you look at the list too, it's iPhone 4, iPhone 4S, iPhone 3GS, iPhone 3. Those are all up there. They've all got big numbers. So if you were to bulk them all into the iPhone category, it would be a huge number. I mean, of course, and if you were going to do that, then you would have to take the 5D Mark II, the 5D Mark III, the Canon 7D, all those kinds of things. If you're going to bulk them in, then they would probably beat out the iPhone. But
I'd be curious to see those numbers.
Yeah. Well, they're you can go to Mashable. They have them all. New iPhone 5 rumors, yay. I know we don't want to talk about them too much, but a really neat one came out the other day.
June. It's coming out in June.
Yeah. Well, there's that rumor, but I don't believe that
with
one.
A 6-inch screen.
A 6.5-inch screen, man.
You know, I heard somebody better. On another podcast, I don't remember which one, make the best case for a larger screen, and it's not for having a larger screen, but actually having a bigger battery just to handle the 4G network.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's the only reason why they would consider having a larger screen.
The newest rumor to hit the streets this past week is that it's going to be sporting a 3D camera.
Oh, really? That's the rumor?
That's the rumor, yep.
Oh, my God. You know what? I actually thought, probably back when the 3DS came out, the Nintendo 3DS, when they announced the technology that they can do 3D without the need of 3D glasses, I actually thought this was something that was going to take off in iPads or something.
Not so much. Man, was
I, no. The more I thought about it after about a month,
just only so much. There's just only so much you want to look at in 3D. You know what I mean? It's neat and it's unique and all, but in the end, there's just so much you want to look at, and then you just want to move on.
I'm much happier with my super duper Retina display.
So, moving away from iPhone rumors and into cool iPhone news, firefighters in China used an iPhone to rescue a trapped toddler fallen down a well. They used an iPhone and the video capabilities to help them. They basically, what they did was they taped the iPhone to a length of string. They turned on the video camera. They lowered it down to get a to kind of get a visual of what was happening. Then they sent down a harness and used the iPhone video to kind of help them fashion the harness around the toddler and brought him up to safety.
At first, they used an Android, but unfortunately, the battery died.
They couldn't get the app to work. Things crashed. They brought it. They were actually going to try it again, but they were busy rooting it, I guess. I don't know what that means, but.
Oh, man. I thought we couldn't do it, but we did it.
So, on that note, our final bit of news.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
That's right, folks. Let the apocalypse begin. Instagram today announced that Instagram for Android is officially live and available in Google Play. And since then, the hashtag Android has been collecting more than 1,000 entries an hour. And out of all those entries, there's a couple different categories. One of those categories is actual Android users taking pictures with their phone. But the more bulk of those entries under that hashtag are iPhone users declaring the end of the world and shitting on the Android users.
To be fair, some of them are welcoming them.
Some of them, there is another group of people that are welcoming them. And then there's the other group of people that are the Android users who aren't taking pictures, but they're just making fun of the iPhone users that are mad that there's Android users.
Have you guys noticed today that the amount of people that are following you on Instagram has gone up?
Yeah, no. I had like an extra 5 people follow me today.
Yeah, I had a whole bunch.
I'm assuming it's because of the Find Your Friends on Facebook's scenario.
I think a lot of the ones for me were Twitter.
Yeah, same thing, yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So real quick, I actually had an opportunity to use it on a Droid Incredible.
How is your hand? I heard it got burned pretty bad.
Yeah. It's very, very, very difficult time. It wasn't an unpleasant experience, other than the fact that I had to handle a droid. Really wasn't fun. But anyway, as far as the user interface goes, it's extremely similar. I would say almost identical, other than a few small points that are moderately different. The one big difference that I noticed is that after you make a capture with the camera phone, the interface goes right into allowing you to select which portion of the full image you want to crop into the square. So instead of like with the iOS app, you're given a square viewfinder to take your picture. With the Android version, at least on this particular one that I was using, it gives you the full viewfinder and full capabilities of the capture device to get the picture. And then directly after you capture it, it gives you a bounding box to select the square that you want to crop for your square.
Interesting.
Yep. So that is that.
Have you encountered any problems with Instagram today?
I haven't, but I did notice under that hashtag Android that there were a lot of people posting screen caps of Something's wrong with Instagram. Please check back later.
I actually got that a couple seconds ago.
You did?
I popped it on just to check my newsfeed, and it said, you know, sorry for the inconvenience or something like that. And I didn't grab a screen cap of it, but I refreshed it, and it was back up to normal. You know, and I've never seen that before.
I think they don't have some of the filters that the iPhone Instagram has.
No, it's just the...
They're all the same.
Everything except for the blur effect.
Gotcha.
Oh, they can't do the...
They can't do the blur.
The tilt shift
thing. Oh, no kidding. Yeah. I didn't notice that. I didn't pick up on that.
But it took a while for iPhone users to get that, so yeah, no biggie.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have an app for that. Oh, I don't know. Oh, wait, it's Android.
No. I'm sure they expected the influx, and they were probably prepped to deal with some of the mass coming in. But I think it'll level out. I would be curious to see what happened to their download numbers and see where that is. But other than that, yeah, it's Instagram, and you know, in the grand spirit of Instagram, it's great to have more people and see what they're doing. So
yes, I'll be curious to see what the numbers are tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be some bright stories that we can mention next week as far as downloads, because actually Instagram mentioned today when they launched it that they were at 30 million iOS users, which is another 5 million from when we started this podcast 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's more than a million users in 4 weeks. More than a million users per week.
That's crazy.
Pretty impressive. So, you guys ready to move into this week's feature?
Absolutely. Here we go.
Let's do it.
So, I've come up with a great name for this particular feature. We're calling it Photo Journeys. And this week's guest for Photo Journeys is a guy named Matt Hoffman.
Who?
Yeah. I heard he's an extremely amazing iPhone photographer. And Matt, why don't you take us away?
Matt Damon.
So that's wrong, who you're going to get.
Matt Hoffman.
Oh, my God. Save that.
That'll get saved.
Oh, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Because it's
okay.
Epic. Carry on.
Alrighty. So today's photo journey, it's basically a place that I like to go photograph. It's a local conservation area called Bicknell Brook. And so basically this area, it's not too far from my house. I go there pretty often, and I've photographed it a ton. But every time I go there, I try to find a new perspective and just something new to photograph there. So I was there recently, a few weeks ago, like in early March or so, and the creek there was pretty full with snow melt. So all the cascades and waterfalls were flowing pretty good. And what I really wanted to do was achieve that silky water effect that you see a lot of landscape photographers do with their DSLRs. And this particular day, I had brought my DSLR, which is a Nikon D80, and my iPhone with me. And I took a few pictures with the DSLR, but really I was more intrigued with shooting with the iPhone. It just, to me, it seems like a whole new way of seeing, like, yeah, after shooting with a film SLR and then a DSLR for the past 15 years. It's just, it's kind of new and exciting. So I really wanted to see what I could do with the iPhone. You know, there's so many, apps for creative editing and the ability to share your pictures right away. I really like that. So,
well, let me give you, I'm going to interrupt you because I want to add my two cents about how I found you, actually. I was looking at one of your photos with the waterfall, and the moment I saw that, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, that's a great photo. He probably uploaded that from his DSLR camera and put it on Instagram. No, that SOB put it on. He actually took the photo with his iPhone, and I've never been able to get that effect. So when I saw you able to like get that smooth waterfall effect with, you know, in the same fashion as a camera, you know, I was totally intrigued. I was blown away by that. Like, I've been able to do something similar, but it never had the right effect with one of my apps. So when I was able, when I saw you do it, I was really impressed. And we'll have some of this on the Tiny Shutter website, right?
Yes. Yes, we will. Within the next day or two.
Sweet. But carry on.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that's so exciting about all these apps that are available for the iPhone is you could do a lot of the things that you could do with a DSLR and then, you know, Photoshop or whatever editing application you like to use on your computer. You could do a lot of these things right in the phone. It's just a matter of finding the right app or the right combination of apps to do it.
So let's get right into that. What app did you use to create that effect? Like, what was your primary tool to take the photo?
Yeah, so the app that I found that I really like for this type of thing is called Slow Shutter Cam. Mm-hmm. And it is a paid app. I think right now it's 99 cents in the App Store. And I don't know exactly how it works, but I think in the mode that I use it in, what it does is it captures a series of frames over what I would call a simulated shutter speed. So you can select a shutter speed kind of like you would if you were using shutter priority mode on your DSLR.
Mm-hmm.
And then it captures this series of images and then sort of blends the movement together to achieve that blur effect. So for the pictures that I'm going to post that you guys will see in the next day or two, this will make a little bit more sense, but you still need to use a tripod or else the entire picture is going to be blurry, just like it would be if you tried to handhold your camera for 2 seconds. The whole picture is going to be blurry. So I put my camera in a case that I have that has a tripod socket and put it on the tripod to keep it steady so that only the water would blur.
Right. Now that's interesting because I use a similar app called Average Camera Pro that does the same thing, but I think yours did it with a much greater result.
Yeah, I've used Average Camera Pro, but I have found that Slow Shutter Cam does a better job for me. I'll tell you, Average Camera Pro does a great job if you want to do light trails.
Oh, yeah?
I've done some shots down in – I was in Providence, Rhode Island with a buddy, and he had to go to a meeting. I was just killing some time, so I was walking around downtown and did some light trail shots with Average Camera Pro, and they turned out really good.
Oh, sweet.
Matt, I wanted to know, as far as post goes, do you do anything after – what do you do after capture?
Yeah, so there's a little bit of work that goes into these after shooting with slow shutter cam. So basically what I do is find an exposure in slow shutter cam that is underexposed. That way I could retain some detail in the white water. Otherwise it gets blown out and it's really hard to recover that detail in the apps on an iPhone. So what I'll do is I'll generally have a somewhat dark image. And then right now, my absolute favorite app for all of my other editing is Nik Software's Snapseed app.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's a proper workflow for working in Snapseed. I don't think it really matters what order you do stuff in. So I have my own little order of how I move through Snapseed. And basically the first thing I do is obviously bring the image in the Snapseed, and then I open the details tab, I guess you would call it, or the details filter. Mm-hmm. And what that does is increase the sharpness. So that's the first thing that I do to the image. And I try not to overdo it. I found you can really notice the difference just by going up to plus 20, plus 25 or so. And then the next thing that I do, because I have purposely underexposed the image, I need to get some of that brightness back to the overall scene. So what I'll do then is go to the drama tab. And if you hit the little star icon in your drama tab, there's some different presets. And the one that I like to use is the bright one preset. And what that does is kind of brightens up the whole entire image. but not so much that I really lose the detail in the water. And then I'll adjust it, you know, as necessary, either up or down the filter strength. And then after I use the bright one setting, then I'll go to tune image. And in tune image, I'll globally adjust the contrast and saturation of the image, because that bright one sort of desaturates the picture a little bit, makes it kind of flat. So I need to bring that contrast and saturation back. And then last, I'll use the selective adjust. And what that allows you to do is use control points to further refine the contrast and brightness and saturation of different areas of the picture for more local adjustments. And then save it and upload it to Instagram and get tons of likes.
Oh, yeah, somebody's being modest. Yeah, you know, my rock star status is, you know, that's all good. I might buy a car.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do very soon here. The Instagram coffee table book from Matt Hoffman will be available shortly.
People do that, actually.
Hey, I know that. Sweet. Well, then I'm going to make this a reality.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd buy it.
Yeah.
Actually. You know,
I would. So let's, listeners, if you have any questions, Matt's going to have a post coming up on Tiny Shutter about the photo journey and about his experiences with creating the slow shutter stuff for the, water movement. Any questions or anything like that, head over to the tinyshutter.com and, ask away.
Very cool. I can't wait to see that article because the photos are really cool. I can't wait to see what you have out, in addition to the stuff we've seen.
So let's move into this week's focus points. Everybody ready to go there?
I think so.
Yeah.
Cool.
With that proper introduction, I think we're all good.
That was nice.
No one gets half.
I'll start out this week since I am ready to go. My focus point for this week is a app. It's a paid app. It's called PicFX. PICFX. It's a kind of layering type of filtering app. So what you can do is you can either take a photo within the app, just like any other camera app, right? Or you can go into your camera roll, just like any other app. I don't even know why I'm bothering telling you that. But once you get your photo in there, you have a choice of, let me see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 12 or 13 folders of filters. Classic, vintage, cross-process, premix, black and white, scratches, light, textures, grunge, frames. So you can put these filters on, and it's similar. Imagine grabbing one of the Instagram filters. You know, they're those types of things, but there's a whole bunch more that you can choose from, including textures and stuff. And the nice thing about this is, first of all, they are they're scalable, so you can adjust the opacity on them. And the second nice thing about them is that once you get it the way you want, if you feel like, oh, geez, you know what, I'd like to have something else on there, you can click the button, and then there's a selection where you can add another. And so you can add on top of the one while you're still in the app, you can add another filter to it. So say you wanted to do like a sepia tone and a texture on top of the sepia tone, you can do that. And then if you wanted to add a vignette on top of that, you can do that. All three of them are scalable. And the other neat thing about it is, too, is there's also another selection where you can rotate the filter. So, like, let's just say, for instance, the ones that have, like, textures. If you put a texture on and you wanted to kind of multiply that texture, the next one you can put on, you can rotate it so it's not duplicating on top. It's actually kind of rotating it and giving you a different look. So it's actually a really cool app. I do my kind of basic editing in Snapseed, like tonal adjustments and contrast and all that kind of stuff. And then if I want to do any nifty filter type stuff, I come into here and it's really cool. It's got a heck of a lot of flexibility in it, and I definitely recommend it. It's $1.99, and it's worth every $1.99. And if you've already got PicFX and you haven't used it in a while, it just came out with an update. They're on version 3.0, I believe it is, and there's a lot of new filters in it. You should try it out. That's it.
Sweet.
Sounds cool.
It is. I love it.
I actually got it, too.
I will get it now.
My pick of the week, actually, I got to say, it's going to be the new iPad. I just picked it up last night, and oh my God, this Retina display is gorgeous. I'm just amazed as to how good a photo can look when you're looking at it on a Retina display. Nice, big, and bright, colorful.
Have you tried iPhoto on it yet?
Not really. It's something I have it. It's definitely so much different than it is on the iPhone.
Yep.
That's something that I'm going to play with. I haven't done any photo editing on it. I'm just looking at it. I'm just looking at it. I'll go through the photos. I'll go through photos of my daughter, some of the landscapes that I've taken, some of the waterfall pics. It's just a brilliant screen. And yeah, I watch occasional Futurama on it. So occasionally. I got it yesterday. I saw one of them.
It sounds like a waste.
What, Futurama? No, that's a great show. Oh, the iPad. Oh, no, go to hell. It's cool. I'm really digging it. And I got to say, any other tablet out there that's not Apple related, they got a long way to go.
So I can definitely just go ahead and say I'm going to pick FX, but I think if I just go ahead and pick up a new iPad, my wife will probably have a problem.
Probably.
Yeah.
Different price point.
A little bit.
A few dollars different. I mean, you know, really.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Do you have a focus point?
I do have a focus point. And it's at a different price point than your guys's. It's free.
Yay.
Yeah.
Woo!
It's an app called Magic Hour. The important thing here is who makes it. Elfinda Apps. ELFINDA. There's another app called Magic Hour that is more easily found, and that is not the correct app. So, all this app really is a timer to tell you when magic hour is in your location. So what you do is you enable it to know your location. If you don't really want to do that, then you're not going to get much benefit out of this app. But basically, you could set it up to alert you either when magic hour begins, either in the morning or the evening, or to give you a heads up, it can alert you an hour before the magic hour. Then once it gives you
Who's
that alert.
Who's the app maker?
Elfinda. It's ELFINDA.
Okay.
So yeah, the Magic Hour app, it counts down how much time is remaining during the Magic Hour. And they define the Magic Hour as the period of time from when the sun is 6 degrees, like let's say it's sunset, 6 degrees above the horizon to 6 degrees below the horizon. That's technically their definition of Magic Hour, and supposedly a great time for you to be out shooting. So I just thought it was a cool little thing. You know, if I'm getting carried away doing chores or working or something like that, a little message pops up on my phone and I know to go out and try to get some sweet shots.
Cool. That's pretty awesome. A little reminder.
I actually downloaded it and I'm going to use it for weddings.
A little reminder to get your butt out of the house and go take some pictures.
Yes.
So with that, folks, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of the Tiny Shutter Podcast. We will be back again next week where we are thinking about having an Android user on to tell us about his experiences with Instagram. We won't focus on that too much, though, believe me. Right back
we'll thoroughly clean him.
Yeah. Right back to all the great iPhone photography news and another set of focus points next week. Make sure you get back and make sure you get yourselves over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and a great review. And we'll see you folks next week. Thank you very much for stopping by.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Don't forget to leave us a comment. I'm going to keep saying that. We need all the help we can get. That sounds bad.
Please, sir. May I have some more?
Thanks, everybody, for watching, because you're listening. Matt, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What the hell?
Oh, he's being turned.
That was awesome. What are you, an android?
He's on the droid. Look.
Welcome back to the Tiny Killer. The podcast dedicated to iPhone.
No, stuck.
What? Nice.
That wasn't my butt. Meow.
Thank the Lord for the fourth. I don't know what. I
hello,
I
iPhone.
Can't do it. Hold on. Cut my bowls.
Yay.
Yeah.
Woo.
Bye, guys.